And hello and welcome to Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. If your dream is to start a business or nonprofit or grow your existing enterprise, Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is ready to help make it happen. I'm Mike Salmon, and alongside the CEO, President for Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is Jennifer Roos. And Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. This is a very special edition. We have a very special guest here in the studio. I'll let you introduce him.
Yes, I'd like everybody to meet Jetta Mata. He actually just flew in this morning, and I'm pretty sure he's extraordinarily tired. Mm-hmm. He took the red eye in from Hollywood. But I know a lot of people are very familiar with Bollywood, but a lot of people don't realize there's a thing called Nollywood, which is actually Nigerian's Hollywood. And Jetta Mata is probably one of the most successful, and his family are some of the most successful in the Nollywood space. He has done publications with CNN, Hollywood Reporter, The New York Times, has actually been with Cannes Film Festival, the first Nigerian to premiere a film at the Cannes Film Festival, British Broadcasting Network, and actually familiar, you might not realize it, but you might have seen some of the work that he has done. So I would like to introduce Jetta Mata.
Well, thank you, Jennifer.
So I know that one of your recent projects included film Road to Redemption. Want to tell me a little bit about that project that you did?
Okay, now Road to Redemption, I wrote it some years ago, and it's about early marriages in Africa. I was in a bus about, say, 20 years ago. I was going to another city for my university fraternity meeting. Like every year, we all meet somewhere. And
the alumni.
Yeah, alumni of the fraternity. So I was going for one, and then this woman walks into the bus holding a bag, and with a connection from the bag right into her.
Oh.
Yeah, so she passed out urine without control.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so it's a fistula problem. It's vesicle vagina fistula, where when a pelvis is not strong enough for a baby to pass through during prolonged labor, it's obstructed, and then there's a tear between the vagina and the bladder. So it's a fistula, like a hole, and then they pass out urine without control. So I saw her, and I was asking her what the problem was, and she told me, and I called a friend of mine who went to school with me, but I graduated first because he was medicine. So I just saw this, and then he broke it down to me, and I realized that there are like 500,000 Nigerians suffering from that.
And it was due to early marriage?
Yeah, all I wanted to do was just save many of them. So I made the film Road to Redemption about that.
I think people hear your description about Road to Redemption, they go, okay, this is not your typical film producers that out there doing comedies. You typically will touch upon political or social issues. Talk about why you have gone down that road. I would think a lot of it would have to be with your upbringing.
Yeah, I'd say that my grandfather was an elder statesman after the Second World War. My grandfather was the head of the students' union in Nigeria, and then he was target for the colonial masters who were looking for the new minds to introduce to the world. And he was one of the people. And we grew up in a particular way. He only wrote or produced works that had strong meaning, that had a message. So for some reason, that just stayed with me up until just recently when I finally did a comedy. Yeah.
Okay.
So you finally did a comedy.
Yeah, because the
how was that?
It was good. The market changed. It's called The American King, and it's a call for African Americans to come back home to Africa.
Okay, from Los Angeles to Africa, right? That was the story.
Yes, that's it.
They went Los Angeles to Lagos.
So. Yes, that's it. So, and the African American market responds more to comedy. So I had to tailor the message to them.
Tell me a little bit about how you came about with this project, Unify Africa.
I've been working on this Unify Africa thing for so long. Like exactly 21 years ago was meant to be our first trip to the U.S. where we had done this musical called Fairy Tale Africa, talking about how to bring all our brothers from everywhere together to form one people. And it didn't work out then, but we looked forward to when the Bible predicted in Genesis 15:13, when the Bible predicts the children of Abraham would suffer slavery for 400 years, after which they would get their freedom, full freedom, and they would grow and things would change massively for them. So there's some of us who definitely believe we're the ones being talked about, because they even described how the slaves were taken. The slaves were taken in ships, and the Jews were not taken in ships, and the Jews didn't stay up to 400 years in Egypt. So there's another person that's being talked about, and that definitely African. So I think this is, I think everything is shifting to a connection for us all, and it just needs to be triggered. And that's why I set up Unify Africa.
So for Unify Africa, can you explain the business behind what you're doing there?
Okay. The most alarming thing for me lately has been the way the Chinese have been buying up Africa. That there's Chinese police in some parts of Africa. That they actually have little, should I call them, towns or hamlets where it's just them, they control everything. Certain countries that have not been able to pay back loans that they got, the Chinese have taken over their ports. So slowly, within the next 10 years, China would own Africa. Within the next 10 years, China would own Africa. And there's no jumping out of it unless Africa can unify.
As far as the unification of Africa, I know one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past is generating business and bringing in some of those micro macro loans into the area and doing the training and education to have people actually start business rather than just providing aid into the community. I know we've been working on that for nearly 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that I know that is very close to your heart in providing that education and opportunity so that we can further an economy and create an economy of scale. What are some of the things that you're trying to do that we're trying to work toward to get that,
okay, now,
that goal in place?
Okay, the first thing I was planning on doing was enlightenment. I've, like you said, I've done several projects in which I've gone back to the people to re-educate them on certain issues. And everything has been aimed towards just this point. Everything's been brought to this point where we know that there cannot be survival for us. So rather than just sticking to the small plans, mm-hmm. the best way to tackle this now is the big plan for Africa to sustain itself economically. It has to connect with everyone, and we have to restart and reset how we do things right from the beginning. And I must add to that, part of the deal for anything to happen, the debts we owe to the Western world mm-hmm. has to be canceled, because it's now a threat to them the way China is buying up things.
Yeah, because China's buying the debt.
Yes, so China is buying the debt. China is buying the debt. They're buying the land. They're buying the resources. They're buying the people. And they're buying their debt. Now, when you buy someone's debt, it's as good as starting slavery again. So we need to break these chains and look forward.
As far as building businesses out in the African nations, what are some of the issues that you're having with getting that to move forward? Because, I mean, we all are aware that there is a lot of opportunity there, and there has been actually a lot of money that even the U.S. also, but Africa itself, has been providing to actually start and generate business within the space. The issues is people aren't taking advantage of this. And I don't understand, what is the holdup? Is it a cultural? Is it an educational? What is it that's causing it to not further progress in some of the directions? Because there is a lot of opportunity. There's actually a lot of natural resources. There's actually a lot of extremely intelligent people in the area that, in a lot of industry, that can be utilized that people aren't even aware of out here.
First thing I'll say is within the last, let's say, less than 20 years, maybe about 15 years, there were only two black billionaires, the owner of BET and then Oprah.
And then, that's true. That's in the U.S.
Yeah. And then, well, the only black billionaires in the world were in the U.S. And then he had a divorce, and then...
Well, that always gets you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like
now it's
like
just Bezos. Oprah.
Yeah. So it was just Oprah. And then within 15 years, we've had 25 billionaires from Africa. 25 billionaires from Africa within 15 years. Oprah is not one of the richest black women right now. The richest black woman is Nigerian.
Yeah.
The next one is Angolan.
Angola, right?
So go back to colonial days. What the colonial masters did, that's basically France and Britain. Mm-hmm. But what they basically did was just apportion us. You go this way, you go this way. And when they gave power, they gave power to the guys who served them tea, the guys they trusted, not necessarily the very educated ones. Mm-hmm. So those are the people that they empowered to run the country. Yeah. And that's why it can't change, because you give the corrupt people power and then you allow them to lodge the money in the US, in Switzerland, in the UK, in Germany. They know these guys are stealing the money, but this world here accepts the money because it's good for their own business. So things will never change, because we will get another 50 more billionaires within the next couple of years, and they're not even giving back as much as they should to society. So the only way is a reset. We can't beat Africa right now. You can't change Africa unless we have a reset.
And you want to explain what you mean by reset from a business standpoint?
The most important thing about being a people is trade. Mm-hmm. None of Africa's trade is controlled by Africa.
That is true, actually.
Now, how do we survive when we don't control our resources, when we don't control the things that we have? And many years ago, we were once slaves, and then we're one the corrupt ones and the ones that die of Ebola. But that has changed. We know we can create billionaires. So we know that if we keep a firm stance or position on anything right now, it will work, especially now that the polity in the world is so divided that for the first time, Caucasians support black things more than you can ever think of.
Talking about the unification of Africa, Jetta, obviously you got to get the heads of state, the people that are in charge of the countries, on board. There's such diversity and disparity in the country. You look at Somalia and Ethiopia, we're in chaos. And how do you get everybody on board? And what has been the reaction from the people that are running the countries in Africa right now?
Okay, I'll tell you this. In Nigeria, right, I was born in a city that's, I'd say, the size of Beverly Hills. And there are like five different tribes in that city. The city is called Warri. The five different tribes in that tiny city, and each one with a different language, like Mandarin and English. Different languages, different cultures, but we get to connect. That is just the town I was born. Now you go to the state and you go to the country, so we're very diverse people. So what makes us special is our diversity. That is what can connect us together, and that's the only way that's how we can succeed now. Because right now, let's say ruling parties in Africa are tribal. So if you're a tribe of 100 million people, you know you'd always produce a president. The northern part of Nigeria have been producing our leaders for so long. The only way to stop that from happening, to break the tribal problem, is so that you need the votes from guys in South Africa, and you need the votes from guys in Nairobi. My tribe is 1 million out of the 200 million in Nigeria. Just 1 million. So just imagine how disenfranchised we are. We can never get to the highest point, because 1 million, when the biggest tribes have 50, 60 million, you get what I mean? So the only way I can make it in Nigeria is if I can campaign in Mogadishu. It's imminent. We don't have any other choice.
From looking at the notes here, you've worked with the U.S. Department of State. What are you asking the United States to do? What can this country do to help with the unification?
To negotiate the loans, United States can get China to back off. If U.S. can get China to back off, China steps back. The U.S. needs Africa as the greatest ally it would ever get. The U.S. needs brand new allies, especially one in an entire continent. The U.S. should be able to negotiate these deals to get us out of China and then forgive us our debt so we can start again. The debts have to be forgiven, because I don't want to keep going on about, oh, they robbed us. That's broken record. You know, like, oh, the oil companies did this. I've made a film on crude oil and to talk about how we're like the fifth largest exporter of oil, but yet we import refined oil because our refineries cannot work. Mm-hmm. Because how they make money from Nigeria right now is in supplying Nigeria refined oil. So if you make the refineries work, they don't make that money. That can't change. And these guys in China, all the that wouldn't change unless someone in Morocco has eyes in what's happening in Nigeria. And only the US can set this up. The US can lead in this. And Africa is ready for it. Every people I've spoken with, everywhere I go to, everyone's talking about they want it. Africans want it. We lack good branding. So we need to change our narrative. We lack good branding. It's only when there's something terrible you remember, you think of us. When one black kid is killed in America, every black person in the world is asked the question, oh, they hate you so much. It's too much. And it's been a label that has been put on us, and we have to let it go. And the only way we can let it go is for the first time to decide on our own, good, we want to do this. If we don't do that and get the respect of the world, slavery could start again.
You can see the passion with yes. Jetta. Obviously, as a film producer now, you're trying to get the message out through your art, and that is film.
Yeah.
And you talked about the most recent film. Where can people see the film? Has it been distributed yet? Oh, you're so still working on it.
The American King, we just finished. Within the next couple of weeks, we'll be deciding which of the offers to take. Yeah, within the next couple of weeks, that should happen.
We have a clip here from one of your recent films with a popular person in there. Talk about Akon, the well-known singer, record producer. Talk about your relationship with him and how he's been involved, and you've been doing some projects with him lately.
From the first film I made out of here, Black November, he was a part of it. And then we have the same vision for Africa, and we planned how to tell our stories. It's important now, while inviting African Americans, beginning to see that maybe Africa is cool. Maybe there's something in Africa. It's like Wakanda. You know, they're beginning to think that African Americans are beginning to think that there's something cool about Africa. So that's why Con and I made this film. We're producing partners. We've worked on four projects together.
And if you get the young folks,
yes,
and with Akon and the films and the music,
yeah,
and you start glorifying Africa, you're starting to change perception.
That's it. You know, and Akon hasn't released music in over 10 years. So the first album, the first release is coming out with the film. So it's going to be a huge thing, and it's all about telling African Americans that, hey, you could be a king in Africa. Well, come back home.
This is something, and we'll play a little bit of it underneath us, but talk about this song that Akon put together, this music.
Okay, so it's we use it at the end of the film, but while Akon was making the song, I invited about five visually impaired people from Nigeria who sing, so they could.
And this is them we're hearing.
Yes, so they came into the United States to do the song with Akon. But I was more interested about how people who can't see America can react to the US. So it was interesting to see them at the airport show joy of being in a place they can't see. That's why I keep telling people that the United States is not a place, it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling of liberty and freedom. It's an opportunity for you to break out and get something. You can come into the US today and be a millionaire tomorrow.
The American dream.
Exactly. So it's
well,
it's,
we all buy into
real.
It. I mean, we all bought into it from the get-go. We buy into all of our politics because the reality is the only thing that holds us together is our belief in what we're doing and that belief in every part of it. Because structurally, if you think about how we were created from a political standpoint, we're based on a document. Somebody had to buy into that because we had nothing to support that document. And we still believe in that document. It's where our civil liberties are attained. So for us, America is just that. It's a belief in what we do.
Yeah, and it's a strong, I think it needs to be defined for especially immigrants. Immigrants get it, but they can't place their fingers on it. America is not about the place.
No.
It's a belief, and especially a belief in the system. Nothing else works like that. That's why America keeps changing things as we go. They keep changing things as we go. Now there's a different kind of polity, and you can see that there are ways of it still being checkmated and balanced. So the system called America is the best system in the world.
And the funny thing is, a lot of us in America take it for granted, but people outside America, you see it.
Yeah.
You realize it.
I'm from Nigeria. I'm saying there's no hope for Nigeria unless the unification of Africa. There's no hope for Nigeria will get worse unless Africa unites. So I know a bad place when I see one.
I mean, the reality is, U.S. at a time period didn't unify either. I mean, we had our differences and still do to this day. Every part of the U.S. has its differences, depending on where we grew up, how we are, what part of the country we're in, how we were educated, what cultures we came from, because 99% of the people here aren't from here. And the ones who are, we took over their land, unfortunately. It was really a question of, we did have this buy-in. What made us unique and different is we truly bought in and became a unified group. And that's where I know that's what you're trying to get Africa to become, is that to understand how we became unified as a nation. And even though we have all of our differences, and some of the time we don't respect them, some of the time we do, but at the end of the day, we came together for one common goal, and that was the creation and unification of the Americas. And to this day, we still have that belief.
Well, Jetta, as we get closer to the end of the show, I want to go back to your career, your film, Road to Redemption, is the one that you were one of the projects you're working on with Akon. That song we just heard, that music was from Road of...
No, that's the the two films.
Okay.
Road to Redemption is one. Road to Redemption is the one about the early marriages.
Okay.
The American King is the comedy inviting African Americans to Africa.
Gotcha. And this is a scene with Akon.
That's the American King.
That's her, the American King.
Well, you know, actually, I represent Africa in the United States.
Oh, that, like, makes you an ambassador.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, my friend Sebastian here got himself a new job. He's an ambassador to an African country.
Drink on me tonight, baby.
All right, I got to ask you, Akon as an actor, how is he to work with?
Akon is one of the most intelligent people you would ever meet. He's like, he's extremely intelligent, and he's very down to earth, reserved. It's sometimes it's difficult to see the superstar and the real person. I've learned how to work with him, and he's a brilliant actor. He could have made a profession from just acting as
an actor.
A-list actor. Yeah, I've worked with him 3 films, and it has gotten better. I've seen him evolve over the years. The first time was like 9 years ago, so I've seen him evolve. He is an amazing actor, and you need a lot of intelligence to make that happen.
As far as a filmmaker, who were your influences? Who influenced you?
I'd say it like this. Steven Spielberg at first.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. But as he went on, I began to see just the theater of the spectacle, like Roman theater. Like Roman theater, the slashing of throats, the blowing up of the head, the blowing up of the arm away from the body, the twister, the T-Rex coming to eat people up and all that. So he's very good at describing chaos and destruction. He's very good at that. Now, since it was Steven Spielberg, I was crazy about just Steven Spielberg. But as I grew older, I began to want to identify with a different kind of message that didn't have to do with complete destruction of a city or of a town and all that, or the graphic war, you know? It started getting to me. I felt there was an anger which we were awakened with, but we had to leave the anger and start establishing our own thing. So he did what was right. But if he continues being that same way, he loses me. He loses me. It's the first time I've described it like this. I hope it didn't come out bad. But,
Well, I know that one of the things that you've made an entire career of is creating and producing films for positive impact on world, raising awareness on political and social issues from an awareness standpoint. And one of that actually just won you last November Best Film for African Oscars, correct, with the Black November. Mm. So one of the things that some of our listeners aren't aware of, Jetta actually holds 62 nominations and 18 wins for film festivals and film awards in Africa, Europe, and the United States. And recently, congratulations, by the way, you were recognized by CNN as one of the most recognizable celebrities of Nollywood.
And the other three were actors.
are you looking to get into Hollywood?
He already is.
We'll talk about that. Talk about the distribution of your film, because obviously you've got these great works of art, and they're definitely art. You want to get them in front of as many eyes as possible. So how do you do that?
Okay, so what I didn't do in the past was follow the U.S. model, which is you need an agent and managers and all that. I brought business into the U.S. and I sustained my business. I controlled what I wanted to do, and I was using it as a way of training people. I've always trained all my guys, both in Nigeria and even in Los Angeles. It's been the one thing that I've always done. But lately, I am CA, the Creative Artists Agency. There's some major things they're looking into Africa, and then they called me in, and I had a very good conversation with them, and I realized that with them we could have some better mark with Africa. So I signed up with CAA. So then that means I will be more mainstream from now on.
Well, I know one of the mainstream pieces that I saw a while ago actually was Amazing Grace, right? Mm. And I don't know if you're aware that film was actually one of Jetta's films.
I gotcha. One day, all of a sudden, Jet will become an overnight success, but there's no overnight about it. It's been years and years and years of hard work. I got to ask the question that Jennifer hasn't asked yet. You're obviously working with Jennifer right now. Why are you in town? Why are you alongside Jennifer Roos with Sterling Rose Consulting Corp?
Years ago, I wanted to do something similar, but I contracted Jennifer and her firm, and they wowed me. They wowed me with all the research they did in Nigeria and all that, and I could tell from the way they spoke to me, like, there's something here. You know, like, I know all consultants need to do that, but
I'll tell you if it's a bad idea.
But it was, I could see that there was something there. So now that there's something bigger, I've come back to the guys I know how to do numbers.
I got you. Smart man.
And ironically, a little story on what, because it was Jetta and Akon actually that came originally. Mm-hmm. And they were our second client ever.
Jetta and Akon.
They were.
Well, it's not too bad.
For Sterling Rose Consulting Corp.
Well, for those that would like to find out more about your great works, where can they go? A website to find out more about what you're up to, your bio, all that good stuff. More about you.
Yeah, I've got a website that I was voted the number one on the Nigerian celebrities who hated social media, who had no social media presence. Yeah, I tweet like once every 3 months or so. I'm just busy trying to unify Africa. You know, just kidding.
Yeah.
So I have a website called jettaamataconcepts.com, but I've got The Amazing Grace is on Netflix. Black November is on Amazon, so you can see that. And if you want information on films that are coming out, then go to the website jettaamataconcepts.com.
Any closing remarks, Jennifer?
I know that one thing we didn't get into, in addition to his recent films, he's actually about to launch his first book, titled St. Lincoln: What 400 Years of Slavery Has Taught Us.
What don't you do, Jetta?
I've been writing the book for years now. It's part of the plan towards the unification. I think the first thing I think we have to do is look for one white man to idolize, just one, because we're raised not to idolize white people, and for good reasons, because of what we've been through. But then again, you get to an age where you suddenly want to break away from things and want to look at one white guy and say, this guy was ready to die for the liberty of all man. And he got killed for it. So I'm reintroducing Lincoln to Africans. This guy we hear of, this is what he did. He was a white man.
Is there anyone that's close to that today?
No, there's nobody.
I think you mentioned Lincoln. I think JFK.
Nobody comes close to Lincoln. Like if he hadn't done what he did today,
be a different country.
Look, there are 5 top banks in America. There were so many of them a long time ago, but they've bought all of them, that they've consolidated themselves. So that's what's going to keep happening. So if slavery had continued, by now only the big 5 would own all the slaves in the world. That's exactly what would have happened. And that was what Lincoln saw and knew that he was ready to die for the liberty of all man, not just for the emancipation of slaves. That was just a tiny bit of what Lincoln was about. Liberty was what he was ready to die for. So I explained this in the book and go down, reintroducing him and making us like the white man again also, so the white man can support us with our unification. So that's why I wrote that book.
Because obviously you're going to need that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you're not going to get it without it.
No, you can't get it without it.
That's just the way the world is these days.
That is, yeah.
Awesome to meet you. Great to have you here in the studio.
Well, thank you.
Business Radio X. And continued great works. Keep the passion. Never lose that passion. I don't think you ever will. And Jennifer, any final words? I know you guys have a busy schedule today.
Yes, we do. We got to get going in a few minutes. We've got actually your book pretty solid for the next, I don't know, 12 hours. So,
wait, when's your client supposed to sleep?
See, I didn't book that into our schedule today.
You put it in the schedule.
Unfortunately.
Great. Well, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jetta. Jetta Amata here joining us here on Strategic Insights Radio. And with that, we'll close out the show. A reminder, it's brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. And if you want to know more about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., just go to their website, sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com. For Jennifer and Jetta, I'm Mike. We'll see you next time here on Strategic Insights Radio.